Hello, divers. Welcome to
Mysteries of the Deep.
I'm Tom Feeney, podcaster and purveyor of pop culture propaganda, searching beneath the surface of what seems to be the ordinary, the mundane, the pedestrian. This week, we dive into the life of one of classic Hollywood's most stunning movie stars and the murder that fueled a media frenzy.
Hello again, folks. This is Dick Simmons. And now from Hollywood, it is my privilege and pleasure to bring you the story of one of the most exciting young women in the world. 20-odd years ago, on February 8th, a queen was born in a modest home in a very small town of Wallace, Idaho. The tiny queen was given an awfully big name, Julia Jean Mildred Frances Turner. And today, 100 million people idolize her as Lana Turner.
Lana Turner, born Julia Jean Turner, was an American film actress and one of Hollywood's most enduring icons of the 20th century. Her life was marked by both tremendous success in the film industry and personal struggles, making her a fascinating figure in motion picture history. Turner's journey to stardom began unexpectedly when she was discovered at the age of 16 while skipping a high school class. She was spotted at a Hollywood cafe by William R. Wilkerson, the publisher of The Hollywood Reporter. Impressed by her striking beauty, he arranged for a screen test, which led to a contract with Warner Brothers. She made her film debut in They Won't Forget, catching the attention of audiences and critics alike with her captivating presence. Turner quickly rose to fame, becoming known as the Sweater Girl due to her glamorous yet approachable on-screen persona. Throughout the 1940s and 1950s, Turner solidified her status as a leading lady in Hollywood, starring in a string of successful films including The Postman Always Rings Twice, The Bad and the Beautiful, and Peyton Place, for which she received an Academy Award nomination for Best Actress.
We often wonder how it feels to be one of the most popular personalities in the world.
I like being Lana Turner, but it isn't all fun. A great deal of hard work and responsibility goes along with it.
Yes, Lana, there certainly is. But tell me, what do you like best about being Lana Turner?
The opportunity to meet people, important, accomplished people, whom I never would have had a chance to see, let alone talk to, if it hadn't been for motion pictures.
Behind the glamour of her career, Turner's personal life was tumultuous. She was married several times, including marriages to bandleader Artie Shaw and actor Lex Barker. But undoubtedly, her most infamous relationship was with mobster Johnny Stampinato, a relationship that would end in his death. Stampinato was a close associate of notorious West Coast mobster Mickey Cohen, who himself took over from Hollywood's most famous gangster, Bugsy Siegel, when Siegel was gunned down in his own home. Stampinato acted as errand boy for Cohen, collecting protection money as well as other less than lawful activities. And during the 1950s, he was arrested 7 times by the LAPD. Stampinato also had almost as many wives as arrests. He was apparently quite the ladies' man and charmed many women in the LA area, in some cases blackmailing them with explicit photos taken during the affairs. And for Lana Turner, the decade of the 1950s was one of constant turmoil for the actress. She was broke and depressed. For Lana Turner, the decade of the 1950s was one of constant turmoil for the actress. She was broke and depressed. Turner unsuccessfully attempted to end her life in 1951, only being saved at the last minute by her business manager. But it wasn't all doom and gloom for Turner, though. Her film career had picked up, and she was beginning to get more substantial dramatic roles in films. That culminated in the Oscar nomination for the melodrama Peyton Place, portraying a New England mother trying to connect with her rebellious teenage daughter.
Peyton Place. The town everyone's talking about. All the people of Peyton Place, with all their joys and sorrows, passions and compassions, are on the screen at last.
I'm going to tell you a hard truth about yourself. It isn't sex you're afraid of. You can say yes or no to that. It's love. That's what you can't handle.
There's a place I know that I'd like to show you that no one knows about. Not even you. It's my secret place.
I knew every spot within 3 miles of Peyton Place. I never knew this place was here.
I don't think anybody does but me. Maybe God. Now you.
What'd you whistle for?
Just saw a young fella and a girl swimming without a stitch on.
Where?
They got out the water and ran into the woods.
Naked?
Naked.
Here is Constance McKenzie, as played by Lana Turner.
You've got to call the state police.
No. No, I can't.
You've got to.
For Lana Turner, the decade of the 1950s was one of constant turmoil for the actress. She was broke and depressed. Turner unsuccessfully attempted to end her life in 1951, only being saved at the last minute by her business manager. But it wasn't all doom and gloom for Turner, though. Her film career had picked up, and she was beginning to get more substantial dramatic roles in films. That culminated in the Oscar nomination for the melodrama Peyton Place, portraying a New England mother trying to connect with her rebellious teenage daughter. It would mark the height of her acting career. However, it would also mark one of the darkest times of her personal life. She had just split up with her fourth husband amid accusations he abused Turner's daughter, Cheryl. Soon after, a mysterious individual began sending Turner flowers and other gifts under the name John Steele. Turner was flattered by the attention, and soon after, the pair began a relationship. It wasn't until after they started seeing each other, however, that Lana Turner discovered John Steele's real name and real connection to organized crime. Despite this revelation, Turner continued her affair with Stompanato. All through 1957, Stompanato continued to insinuate himself into the lives of both Lana Turner and her teenage daughter. But Stompanato had a volatile temper. This became evident when, while filming a movie with Sean Connery in London, Turner and Stompanato had an argument, which escalated when he began choking her. Turner contacted Scotland Yard in order to have Stompanato deported back to America. When he found out about the call, he went to the movie set with a gun. Stompanato confronted Turner while she was with Connery. The James Bond actor was having none of it. In 007 style, he swiftly disarmed Stompanato, nearly breaking his wrist in the process. Stompanato was deported back to the U.S. On March 26, 1958, the 30th Annual Academy Awards was held at the RKO Pantages Theater. As a nominee and presenter, Lana Turner was in attendance, without Stompanato. Enraged at being snubbed, he waited until Turner arrived at home, then physically assaulted her. A few days later, the evening of April 4th, Stompanato went to Turner's home, where they began arguing again. According to reports, Stompanato threatened to kill her daughter, and Turner's mother, who was also living there. But it was Stampinato who would die that night in Beverly Hills. The following is from a news article in the Los Angeles Evening Citizen News, dated April 5, 1958.
Cheryl Crane, daughter of Miss Turner and actor Stephen Crane, said she plunged a 10-inch butcher knife into Stampinato's stomach at 10:15 p.m. to protect her mother.
14-year-old Cheryl Crane was arrested and put into juvenile hall without bail. 3 weeks later, after a coroner's inquest determined that the homicide was justifiable, Crane was released and made a ward of the court. But what exactly happened that night? Turner's autobiography, Lana, The Lady, The Legend, The Truth, and Cheryl Crane's memoir, Detour, A Hollywood Story, each give an account of what took place. Additionally, details from the coroner's inquest and newspaper reports contribute to the narrative. From these sources, the following sequence emerges. During the argument, Turner went to open her bedroom door to leave, with Stampinato close behind, his arm raised. Cheryl had gone to the kitchen and grabbed a knife. When Turner opened the bedroom door, Cheryl quickly thrust the knife into his abdomen, puncturing vital organs including the liver, portal vein, and aorta. Stampinato, stunned, looked at the knife protruding from his stomach in disbelief. "My God, Cheryl, what have you done?" he said, before collapsing onto the carpet. Cheryl removed the knife and placed it on the marble dressing table and fled the room screaming. But is that what really happened? Rumors began to swirl that it was Lana Turner herself who stabbed Stampinato, because Stampinato was threatening to kill Cheryl as well. This theory was espoused by author Casey Sherman in his new book, A Murder in Hollywood, The Untold Story of Tinseltown's Most Shocking Crime. Just after the killing, Stampinato's brother Carmine told the press that he wanted a full investigation and did not believe the official accounts. He wondered how his brother, an ex-Marine, could be so easily stabbed to death by a teenager who had never wielded a knife before. Despite the personal tragedies and scandals that surrounded her, Lana Turner continued to work in film and television, maintaining her status as a beloved Hollywood star. In the 1960s and 1970s, she transitioned to television roles, earning acclaim for her performances in series like Falcon Crest. Her daughter, Cheryl Crane, wasn't as fortunate. Over the next few years, Crane would run away from home, spend time in and out of psychiatric institutions, and attempt suicide. Eventually, Crane put her life back together, moved to Hawaii with her wife Joyce, and became involved in real estate and restaurants. Crane and her mother continued to have a strained relationship for many years, until her and her mother eventually reconciled. A lifelong smoker, Turner was diagnosed with throat cancer in 1992 and passed away on June 29, 1995. Thankfully, the circumstances surrounding the murder of John Stampinato did not define her career or legacy. Instead, her contributions to film and her legendary status as a true Hollywood movie star continues to captivate audiences to this day.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. If this is the first time you've heard this podcast, check out our past episodes, available on almost all podcast providers, and subscribe so you don't miss a single one. If you like what you hear, write a review. We'd love to know what you think. Or drop us a line at thedeepdivepodcast@gmail.com or on our Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter/X feeds. You can find links to those in our awesome t-shirt store in the bio of our Instagram page. All clips used in this podcast are meant for educational purposes only and not to infringe on existing copyrights. Mysteries of the Deep is part of the Deep Dive podcast family and a production of Automaton Studios.